everybody. Welcome to Drive Through HR. Brian, William, and Nisha coming to you live every day talking about human resources. Well, we had a pretty great week this week. We had our awesome Louisiana Shrimp Conference, and then we had a special Drive Through HR show with IRM yesterday. And I'm so excited to talk to our guest today, Ryan Healy. Hey, Ryan, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you here. So why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Sure. So, a little bit of background on me. Again, I'm Ryan Healy. I'm the co-founder and COO of a company called Brazen Careerist. You may or may not be familiar with Brazen. We have kind of reinvented ourselves over the past 3 years. And what Brazen now does is we actually offer a virtual event platform, a virtual event solution specifically to HR and recruiting. So we have gone back and looked at how to create a engagement-based virtual recruiting event, what that looks like, how it would work, how it differs from what's been out there in the past, and we've created it from scratch. And we're working with hundreds of large organizations, you know, Fortune 500, Fortune 1000 organizations, government agencies. We work with a lot of universities to help them put on different virtual recruiting events, different associations, and other partners. So, we're really growing, and the team is expanding here, and we're having a lot of fun. We're based right outside of Washington, D.C.
Nice. Well, let's start with the obvious. What is keeping you up at night and or top of mind for you these days?
Yeah, so obviously with me, most things are going to fall into the recruiting realm because that's kind of the world that I live in and have been for the past 6 years or so. And the thing that's been, that I've been thinking about lately and talking about with people is this whole idea of social recruiting, right? Social recruiting is a big buzzword, and everybody's trying to figure out how to do it, how to make the best use of all the different social platforms out there, whether it be Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, or anything else you can imagine. And, I think what I have realized and what a lot of people I've spoken with have realized also is that social recruiting is failing in a lot of ways, and it's mainly because it's really not about engagement like it should be. Social recruiting has really turned into social broadcasting, where people and companies and organizations are broadcasting their message through social platforms, the same way they've always broadcasted their message through different platforms, and it really hasn't changed anything in the process other than created a new medium to broadcast that same message and have a one-way conversation where you're kind of shouting about your brand and your opportunities. And the real promise of social recruiting, in my mind, should be about increasing the amount of engagement that happens during the recruiting process and being able to really truly connect with the people who are coming through your process to make the process better for them and to ultimately get you better hires, and that there's got to be a better way to do it that goes beyond the broadcasting that's out there these days.
Ryan, I really like how your take on that, and it's funny because I think there's some other confusion around how people use the social platforms to source. So there's really kind of like a social sourcing, recruiting, broadcasting. What's your take on the sourcing world and the intersection points between sourcing and social?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think it's kind of the same thing I was saying before about there's a lot of recruiters who are blasting the message out, whether it be putting it on a Facebook page, if it's a corporate recruiter who's just kind of blasting it out on their general career Facebook page, or recruiters who are specifically going to doing searches based on skill sets, based on location, anything you want on a LinkedIn, and blasting out email messages to individuals where, if you think about it, that's not any different than blasting out emails when emails became popular. It's just on a different platform. So So it's not creating that engagement that you really need to create, because if you think about how most people are finding jobs, it's through networking, it's through knowing the right people and creating that engagement. And really what needs to be happening is we need to be looking at how can we scale that piece of it. How can we scale the fact that we know most people are coming through networks, that most people are coming through randomly bumping into people at an event, searching out people. How can we scale that and facilitate that kind of engagement in different ways?
Well, who do you think does that really well right now? If you could point the audience to an example or two of who do you think is doing it well and why, like some of your analysis, why you think they're doing it well?
Yeah, you know, I have to say that some of our clients are ones that I see doing it very well. And, you know, a couple examples of that would be one is Deloitte. You know, they're out there driving people to these events rather than driving people to a job listing and asking them to go apply and start the process. They're driving them to events where there's people there who can talk with them, connect with them short conversations. The events are all online, so they're not limited by geography, and they're able to have very quick, efficient conversations with candidates and then follow up. And, you know, another good example of a group that's doing this really from a college recruiting point of view is Raytheon. Raytheon is hosting events for online events for university students and recent grads from all the schools that they typically go to. But they're doing them. They're letting these students come into one big event that's online, so they're not limited by that geography as well. And it's been interesting to see that.
What's the relationship between content and social recruiting and/or social engagement from your perspective?
You know, that's a good question. And to me, it is. Content is really, I would say it's probably half of the battle, right? That's the broadcasting, right? So you've got to create these compelling messages and create content to draw people in and engage them. But that's only the first step. That's putting it out there first. Once the people come, you've got to be able to really create that conversation with them, that true, real, authentic, no BS kind of engagement where it's me, recruiter, talking to you, job seeker, or me, employee of company X, talking to you, job seeker, in real time about what I like about my job, you know, what's not the best thing about my job, what I should be prepared for in the interview process, those kinds of things. And the content is what is ultimately going to get people there. But it can't end at the content. And I think that's the problem that a lot of organizations are having with their social recruiting strategy.
What's your current line of thinking or thoughts around when you hear the industry term talent communities? Where do you go when you hear a term like that?
Yeah, you know, that's another one that's interesting because, you know, talent communities, what I've realized over the years working with a lot of groups, talking with a lot of people in the industry, a talent community for most companies is a big list of names. And, you know, to me, that's just not a community, right? There's, again, we come back to the engagement and the true connections that are being created. So, you know, a lot of organizations have big lists of people that they'll call their talent community. They collect them in CRMs, but they're not doing anything to keep these people engaged other than the occasional email blast. So, again, there's the content piece, right, that email blast. And some companies, the ones who are, you know, kind of ahead of things are doing that. They're doing that first half where they're blasting out content to try to keep these people engaged. But, you know, there's very few organizations who are doing a really good job of kind of cultivating this talent community and are able to go back to it when they need them, right? When positions become available, when things become critical to fill, you know, a lot of organizations are saying, well, great, I've got this list. What the heck do I do with it now? And the only way to combat that is to constantly engage that list, that community, and turn it into a group of people who really care about your brand and have connected with your people, because it's those relationships that are ultimately going to lead to hires.
When we think of recruiting, we tend to think externally. We go out into an open marketplace in whatever way that we do. Why do you think we don't do as much internal recruiting, i.e. trying to find the folks internal to the firm and replacing from within? What's your take on that, and why do you think that either does or does not happen within firms?
Yeah, you know, that's an awesome question. And the first thing I'll say is that, you know, I've talked to countless, you know, potential clients, existing clients, et cetera, who are talking about how to better recruit from within and what they can do to engage existing employees in the hiring process and bring them on. So it's something that companies are looking at. They know they need to do it, but there's a mismatch there, and I think part of it is politics, right? I mean, if you're hiring from within, you're taking somebody, a key employee, you know, presumably from one manager and giving them to another manager. So there's internal politics there that get in the way and are going to always be tough to navigate. You know, so that's a piece of it. The other is there aren't great internal hiring tools out there, but you know, it's something that more companies need to look at. And I saw a great article from Lou Adler, I believe, talking about the hidden job market and the fact that, you know, the people who are really being who come in and are great employees and were great hires are often the ones who come from within, because you as a hiring manager are able to look at their past performance and evaluate their future potential based on that. And you don't have to worry about things like, do the skills match exactly how I created this job rec? Does the experience match exactly? Do the academics match exactly? Because if you're going out and looking for those things, and you need people to match all of these things if you're going to hire them, you're not going to find very many people, because who really wants to make that lateral move to do the same thing they've been doing, to match their skills, experience, and academics, and move to another company to do the exact same thing? No, they want to move up. So you know, it's something that the best way to do it is to hire from within, especially these large organizations. And I just love that article from Lou Adler talking about that.
Nice. I'm going to ask about technology next, and one of it is going to be on the negative side. I want to get your take on the failure of ATSs. And then the second part of the question is, what technologies are you currently in love with?
Yep. So, yeah, good question. So the failure of ATSs, I mean, they're tough, you know. It's. I think in general, everybody kind of agrees with the failure of ATSs, and it's that it causes that resume black hole, right? That all job seekers hate, and even the recruiters hate it. They know that they're providing people with a poor experience. They know they're not getting back to people, but when there's so many resumes coming in, it's really hard to do anything more than a generic thanks but no thanks. So, you know, the ATSs they're doing a great job of letting companies post all of this information and collect resumes, but it's making the process very cold and inauthentic, and it's stripping that engagement that I believe is so crucial to the whole process. So, you know, and that also I think goes hand in hand with the fact that because ATSs are great at letting you match candidates to specific quantifiable traits, skills, experiences, education, that it's causing that problem that Lou Adler in his article talked about. And that's what everything is based on, all these keywords, matches. And, you know, filtering by those keywords just isn't enough. You've got to get beyond that, beyond the resume and into the real conversation, so you can figure out, is this person someone who has potential? Does it match close enough where I can take that risk based on what I've seen from this person in the past, even if all of the you know, skills or experiences or education levels don't exactly match? So, you know, there's a lot of problems with the ATS, and automation is great and technology is great, but recruiting is inherently social and inherently about people, and people can't all be quantified just by a resume or by by numbers and data. It's just never going to it'll never go that way completely.
Great insights, Ryan. No, go ahead. You said something.
Go ahead.
Well, I'm going to do a quick reset, everybody. This is William Manisha talking to our wonderful guest, Ryan Hilly, all about social recruiting, sourcing, and content management, and engaging your candidates. Well, Ryan, you know, mobile is here now. So are you using mobile as a platform for recruitment? And the next question is mobile recruitment, you know, more about engaging a talent pipeline versus collecting applications?
So let me repeat that. You asked if our platform is being built for mobile, and then is mobile good? Did I catch that?
Yep.
Okay. So first of all, yes, we are optimizing our platform for mobile. You know, we are really at our core, our platform is chat-based. So sometimes chat in a live one-on-one kind of way might be difficult on mobile, but people do it, and they use it that way. So we want to make sure that anyone can use our platform on whatever device they're on. And to me, mobile, of course you have to go mobile, because such a huge percentage of people's time spent online is mobile. And if you don't go that way, you're just not going to touch all the people, and they won't be able to engage with you, to read your information, et cetera. So it's really just about the medium that people are viewing content and engaging with content. And if you don't optimize for that medium, you're dead. It's just like when the TV came out or when radio came out. If you didn't if you didn't get on radio or get on TV, then you were irrelevant if you stuck with with different channels. So absolutely, and I think mobile is a good thing. You know, it makes it so that everyone is able to connect anytime, all the time, right? And sure, there's philosophical arguments you could have about whether that's good or bad, or the downfall of our society, or what's going to make our society great, or whatever. But the fact is, people love it, and they're hooked on it, and they're engaged, and they're always connected. And you got to take you've got to take advantage of that too. You've got to be there for them when they want you. And the only way to do that is to go mobile.
You know, Ryan, I've been following y'all for a long time, and you know, I think your co-founder Penelope Trunk is one of my favorite voices. She's very compelling. She's very interesting. You might not agree with her every single day or every single post, etc., but she's compelling and interesting to me. Again, I tend to like people that are really smart and compelling, and I know that there's a risk to that I might not like the things that they say, because they get me to think or whatever. I want you to take us into what's it been like to work with her, or a person like that, if you will, where sometimes things, controversy can find you. What's that like to be in the in that sphere, if you will?
Yeah, you know, it's a good question. So first off, I'll clarify that. So Penelope is one of the co-founders, but Penelope has not, from an operational point of view, been working with the company since early 2010. So we've kind of parted ways in that sense. Now Penelope and I are still close, and we talk, and she's a shareholder in the company and all of that. But in the early days, it was interesting. I'll tell you what, it was interesting. There are pros and there are cons to having that kind of divisive kind of personality and putting yourself out there and not holding back and sharing your opinions. And there's lots of media attention that comes to you. There's lots of attention in general. You become very well known, but you can also become well known for things that you don't necessarily want to be well known for all of the time, and so it's a back and forth. But at the end of the day, it's always fascinating to see anyone and work with anyone on a day-to-day basis who has a real kind of genius about them, in, you know, whatever way it might be, and to see how they work. And it results in it never being boring, all right? It's always interesting, and there's yelling and fighting and kicking and screaming, but there's also a lot of wow, that's really smart. I mean, I get it, you know. That is visionary kind of, you know, 10 years, 20 years down the road kind of vision. So, you know, it was interesting working with Penelope every day. That's probably the best way to describe it.
Nice. Well, you know, you put out a lot of content. The Brazen Careers puts out a lot of content. What do you look for in the voices that you kind of help put out there? Like, what are you looking for when you're evaluating the hundreds of people that you could kind of have blog for you or have work with you in some way? What do you look at from a voice perspective?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. And the first thing I'll say is that our blog now is just absolutely taking off and going through the roof in terms of traffic and visibility, and it's been so cool to see. And we actually have an amazing editor who essentially runs our blog. Her name's Alexis Grant. She used to be a reporter for U.S. News and World Report. She now does some other things in her free time as well. But she has really taken it to the next level. And I think, you know, what we look for are people who are, who are talking about and looking about and thinking about careers a little different than the average person. You know, have a little edge to what they're saying, and when they're writing about, you know, typical things, whether it be salary, whether it be negotiating, whether it be resumes, but taking a different spin on it, and a spin in a smart way that's relevant and isn't just spin for the sake of saying something to shock people, but is making people look at it a little bit differently. And you know, ideally, it's just, you know, people who are smart and who want to change the status quo in the working world, and I think that's what we look for, and it's been very successful, especially lately, just to watch it take off.
Nice. I want to go backwards a little bit to the pivot. The company was focused on one thing, and then at one moment you had this a moment of clarity. Pivoted, and now you're focusing on the virtual event for companies, organizations, etc. Take the audience into the pivot, how that came about, and why, and what process you went through in order to come to this new focus.
Yeah, you know, it's a great question, and it happened organically. So, you know, if I take you back to the beginning of the company, we actually started saying we want to be the professional network for Generation Y. So at the time, we looked at LinkedIn, which was just doing great, kicking butt. But we said, okay, their average age, mid-40s. Typically, most young people, recent grads, college students, might have a profile, but they're not engaging on it. There's a chance here to build a competitor and focus on the young professional market. So that was what we did. That was our original hypothesis. And if I've learned anything in my years at startups, it's that, you know, it's all a hypothesis. There is no going into something thinking that you have the answer. It's just you've got questions and you got to figure out answers. So that was our original hypothesis that we had to prove or disprove. And you know, if I'm going to be completely honest, we/LinkedIn disproved it. We grew. We had a few hundred thousand users. We had pretty good engagement, but LinkedIn just shot through the moon. Young people started using it more and more and more, and we weren't growing at a viral clip where you know, each new person brought in at least one more new person, which is what you need to have any kind of professional network. So we started looking at, okay, if that's the reality, what can we do to make this thing work, to really you know, provide value to the people, to the industry that we've set out to provide value for, and to change quite literally. And we started testing different ideas. So we threw a bunch of stuff at the wall. Let's look at it and see what sticks. We've got a couple hundred thousand people in this community. How can we provide them with tools, with products, with apps that let them that help them with their career in one way or another, and let's test out what works the best and see if anything sticks. And what we ended up creating was this app that we called Network Roulette. And Network Roulette was an event, online event-based app that was totally built around networking. So it was essentially speed networking online. And we would bring in people with a some kind of similar interest or a geographic location or both. So, for example, we would have a Network Roulette event for marketing professionals in the Northeast United States. And on Thursday night at 9 o'clock, 200 marketing professionals from the Northeast United States would come in, and they would be connected with each other. We would connect them through our app based on algorithms we created, automatically connect them in short, timed conversations so that they could build their network, meet new people, connect with new people, maybe find a new job, find a mentor, get help with their resume, whatever they wanted to do in real time. And that was the idea. So we tested it. We did a few events. And the feedback that came back was just unreal. I mean, we had people saying, this is amazing. I want to do this every night. Can you host another event tomorrow? I met five people. I got a new job. I found this great mentor. And it was just like, okay, something clicked, right? We had something here, which was great. And the next thing we had to figure out was, how do we turn this app we created into a company, or can we? So we kept doing events, thinking about that, trying new types of events, thinking about different ways we could monetize so we could actually build a business. And something strange happened. We had some recruiters participate in one of the events, and they loved it. And they said, you know what, I met people here that I want to hire. I want to do this for my company. Can I use this for my company to host recruiting events in the same format? And we tested it out. So we did some early alpha tests without changing the app. We just kind of did it in a recruiting fashion, changed it, you know, modified it, hacked it together. And some of these companies had huge success. They hired people. They had tons of interviews. They were able to build this community of people who had engagement with them and loved it. And they came back to us and said, hey, okay, love it. Can we build out some features that help us specifically with recruiting? And we're willing to pay for it. And the light bulb went off and said, yes, we're onto something. This can be a game changer. This can literally change the way that companies recruit and people find jobs. And you know, and that's what we've been doing since. So for the past 2.5 years, we've been building out that that core to really be focused on HR and recruiting.
Cool. Well, that's a great information out there, Ryan. Well, we have about 2 minutes every two in the show. So why don't you talk about you know, your networking event or your conference or your travel plans of this year, and where can people come and connect to you, and where can people find you?
Yeah, you know, definitely, please, anybody, reach out to me, just Ryan, R-Y-A-N, at brazencareers.com. Real easy. I love to talk with anyone in the industry about anything you'd like to talk about. I'm based out, I live in Washington, D.C. Our office is in Tyson's Corner, so if anyone's in the area, we can meet up and grab a coffee or a beer or whatever. And as far as conferences go, we're not going to do the conferences that I know are coming up this week, next week. Unfortunately, we're kind of slammed over here. But we are going to be at the Human Capital Institute conference up in Boston in June. I believe we're going to be at NACE in Orlando also in June. There's a few other conferences that I'll be attending in that time period as well. I'm also traveling down to Tampa in mid-May. If anybody happens to be down there, I'd be happy to connect. So my plans will fill out as the months go on, but that's what I have right now.
Cool. Well, everybody, connect with Ryan Haley and check out their website, brazencareers.com. And that's all for today, and look forward to talking to you all tomorrow. So stay tuned, and you all have a great day ahead.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye, everyone. Bye, Ryan. Great talking to you. And bye, William. I don't practice bantering.